If you want to stand up, and all of you that are sixth grade on down, you're going to follow this guy and his wife right out those back doors there. So we'll let you stand up and start making your way that direction. All right, Brother Owens, come on up. We'll just turn this over to you.
All righty. Well, good evening. It's good to be with you tonight. If you would, open your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I just want to thank each and every one of you for having us this week, and we've really enjoyed the conference, and thank you for hosting us, and thank you for providing all those wonderful meals. And I think I've gained a few pounds this week. Amen. Gonna have to work it off during the rest of this week and for a long time after that. But Hebrews chapter 11, they are starting in verse number 1. The Bible says there, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse number 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before the translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." And notice there verse number 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here tonight. Just thank you, Lord, for these folks that have made it out tonight in this weather. And just thank you, Lord, for each and one of them and their desire, Lord, to learn more from your word and just their interest in missions. And just give them safety, Lord, on the way back tonight. Just help us right now, Lord, as we look into your word, and just help us, Lord, to increase our faith tonight. And just help us, Lord, to glean truths from your word that will change our lives tonight. All this we pray in your name. Amen. You know, the book of Hebrews was written possibly by Paul or by Luke. But whoever wrote this book, he was trying to encourage the Hebrew Christians to leave the rituals of the Old Testament, the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They were still stuck on the Old Testament. And he, if you notice there in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he begins by stating, the writer of this book, that Jesus is better than Moses. Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than any prophet or any person. Jesus is better because Jesus is God. And then he said, why focus on the symbols when we have the real thing, when we have Jesus who sacrificed himself for us on the cross? Notice there in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27, the Bible says there, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests," talking about those Old Testament high priests, "to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins." Notice that they were also human. But and they needed sacrifice for their own sin. They were sinners. "And then for the people's, for this he did once," talking about Jesus, "when he offered up himself." And I am so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, because tonight we can have salvation through him. And if it wasn't for his sacrifice, you and I wouldn't be here tonight. I am so thankful for him. Jesus Christ, the blameless, sinless Lamb of God, was and is the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But if you notice there in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." When we think about a missions conference, we usually think about faith and faith promise and just how our missions program is operated by faith, and the faith that we exercise to send missionaries across the world, but also the faith that we need to exercise in our own daily lives, us as Christians. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Doesn't say it's very difficult. Doesn't say that it's a 50-50 chance. The Bible says it is impossible to please the Lord. If I ask you, brother, sister, would you like to please the Lord? You would say, of course, brother David, but for that we need faith. Notice there in verse number 1, we see the definition of faith. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, things that we cannot see right now, things that we cannot feel with our hands or see with our eyes or hear with our ears. But we know that the Lord is working and that there is something that He is planning. You know, my friend, we need a total dependence on the Lord tonight. If we are walking on our own strength and depending on our own flesh, you know, if I'm on my own flesh, you know, that's not good. I need the Lord tonight. I need to depend on God. George Mueller, a man that exercised faith on a regular basis, he said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith begins where man's power ends. We're talking about a man who daily yielded himself to the Lord and depended on the Lord for him to provide for the people of his orphanage, for those children. You know, God likes it when we depend on Him, when we are aware of Him, of His presence, and we put our faith in Him and trust in Him. You know, can we just make a note that we use faith every day? As soon as we walked into this building, we put our faith on the people that constructed this building. As soon as we start our cars, even turning on a light switch. You know, faith in a plane. You know, Pastor, I was talking to him earlier about my fear of flying. Amen. You know, when the plane is up there in the air and the turbulence, amen, the turbulence, and my hands get all, you know, sweaty, I'm nervous, and I'm just praying, Lord, please help the pilot to have a good day. Yeah. But even going a little bit further, you know, the doctor gives us a prescription or the name of some medicine that we cannot even understand or even pronunciate, but we believe it, we trust in it, we think it will help us. But how much more faith we need to put in the Creator of the universe, in our God, in our Savior. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. And I said this yesterday, but most of the time when we go out sharing the gospel, visiting, whether it's in Argentina or even here in the United States, and you ask somebody, so what are you trusting in to get to heaven? And most of them will say, well, I went to church when I was younger. A lot of them will tell you, I'm a pretty good person. Some of them might say, I went through the waters of baptism. But let's look what the Bible says. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that through the grace of God, and by putting our faith in Him, are we saved. Not of yourselves, not anything that we did, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. You know, we realize that we have a sin problem, that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we realize that we are sinners and there is a penalty for that sin. There is a punishment, a consequence. That is a lake of fire, my friend. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, the spiritual death that separates us from the Lord. How sad that many people are heading in that direction tonight, right here in our own backyard. Right here in our United States. Praise the Lord for a Savior. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us, and he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. God in his infinite love sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and shed his precious blood. Not only did he die, but at the third day he resurrected, according to the scriptures. And he is alive today, and he is willing to give eternal life to those that come to him. My friend, if you haven't yet accepted that gift, young person, if you haven't accepted that gift of eternal life, that is through Jesus Christ only, I invite you tonight to make that decision, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But my friend, if we as Christians believe in him and trust in him for salvation, why not put our faith in him for our future, for our family, for our finances, for just anything and everything in our own daily lives? Notice there in Mark chapter 4, if you would be so kind to turn there. Mark chapter 4, verses number 37. The Lord says, even in Malachi, he says, try me and see if I will not bless in tithes and offerings. Try me. The Lord is pleased when we depend on him, when we trust in him. That's when he gets the glory. But notice what happens when our faith begins to falter. When our faith begins to waver. Look what happened to the disciples here in verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. You know, he wasn't worried. He wasn't afraid. And they awakened and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How is it that ye have no faith? You know, these disciples were scared. They were afraid, Lord, we're about to die here. Do something. And Jesus Christ got up. And just as that, calmed the sea, calmed the storm. And he said, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? And I can just think in my own personal life, I can just put my name in that verse, verse number 40. And he said unto me, David, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where is your faith, David? You know, through the storms of life, we can learn to continually put our faith and trust in the Lord, knowing that he will provide, knowing that he will guide, knowing that we can trust in him. Another result will be worry. Worry will set in. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice this phrase, take therefore no thought for the morrow. In other words, don't worry. God is in control. He knows your need, and he will provide. One preacher once said, God does not expect us to submit our faith to him without reason, but the very limits of our reason make faith a necessity. We need faith. Turn, if you would, back to Hebrews chapter 11. As we look a little bit more into this subject of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11 is the chapter of the heroes of the faith. And it gives us 17 examples of people, men and women, that exercise faith in a great way. And notice there in verse 32, the writer says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me. I don't have enough time or room or space to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, and how many books could be written, how many pages could be filled with people that exercised faith throughout history, that put their faith in the Lord. But tonight I want you to notice there in verse number 5, just a few examples of people that trusted the Lord, that pleased the Lord through faith, and how we can follow their example. Notice there, number 5, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased the Lord. How did you do it? How did you do it, Enoch? Well, twice in Genesis chapter 5, we see the phrase, Enoch walked with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord. You know, there is not much said about him, but it says that Enoch walked with the Lord. He had a personal relationship with the Lord. And the Lord took him out of this world. And he didn't see death because the Lord craved that relationship, that fellowship that he had with Enoch. And even through the dark days, some of us might say, well, you know, these are the last days. But the Bible says in Genesis that every thought was evil continually. Even back then, it was really bad back then. But Enoch made that time to walk with the Lord. You know, faith increases when the Word of God is present in our lives. And I noticed that when I'm away from the Bible, when I'm away from the Word of God, when I'm away from that relationship with the Lord, you know, that is when my faith begins to falter. But the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How important it is that we stay close to the Lord. This day and age when everybody is so busy and just we have so much social media, and I'm not against that, but just so much things going on in our lives that we need to stop and just fellowship with the Lord, commune with the Lord, and talk to Him. If you remember the story of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, Jesus and His disciples went to visit her. And can you imagine just having 12 people show up at your house just like that? That would be pretty crazy. And Martha was busy and she became very frustrated. But the Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But then He turned to Mary, who was listening to Him, and He said, Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's not get too busy for the Lord. Let's spend time with the Lord. We see that Enoch, he was with someone. Notice there in verse number 8, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 8, we see that Enoch, he walked with someone. We see that Abraham, here in verse number 8, he left somewhere. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Notice the pattern here in this chapter, not seeing, not knowing. You know, it's an element of faith that these men had. And the Lord said, Abraham, leave your home, leave your family, leave everything behind and follow me. And I will show you where to go. But where are we going? I don't know. I will show you later. It was an immediate decision by this man of faith. He made a clear act of obedience regardless of the circumstances. You know, I started traveling on deputation, and before, when I first started, I didn't have a GPS. You know, those things can be very useful. And sometimes I would be with my wife, and we would be driving by one place once, and then two times, and then three times. And then she would ask that question, "No, are we lost?" And me and my manly ego and pride said, "No, of course not. You know, we're not lost." But you know, I can just think of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah might have asked, "So do you know where you're going? Have you put that in your GPS?" But he didn't know where he was going. But he obeyed the Lord and went in faith. And then in verse 17, he was even willing to offer up his only son, Isaac, in obedience to the Lord. And even in his lifetime, Abraham did not see the fulfillment of the promise of a great nation, the nation of Israel, but he believed in the Lord. And he was later called the friend of God. The friend of God. Wow, what an incredible example of faith. So I want to encourage you tonight, when God says do, we better do. I don't know what it is the Lord has for your life. But when God says do, when God says go, we better go. We better obey the voice of our Lord. Notice there in verse number 24, a little bit down in this chapter, we see that the example of Enoch and Abraham. We see the example of Moses, how he refused something. He refused something there. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice what he chose to do. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, humanly speaking, this man right here, Moses, he had everything in front of him. He had all the fame, all the money, all the pleasure. He was going to be the grandson of the most powerful man on earth at that time. And Egypt, being a picture of the world, it was very enticing. It was very tempting. It was a tempting offer for Moses. He could have just stayed in Egypt. But the Lord called him and he responded and obeyed. And he kept his eyes on the invisible. He esteemed the reward better. And I just want to encourage you, young people, especially, how the world is enticing you today, encouraging to leave that faith that you have been instilled by your fathers, by your parents. And I just want to encourage you tonight that the worldly pleasures are not worth it. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We need to please God by putting our faith on the eternal, not the temporal, because the temporal will be here today, but it's gone tomorrow. Let us put our faith on the eternal. And finally, verse number 7 there, one last example tonight. We see the example of Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, to the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Warned of God of things not seen. The Lord said that rain was going to come, but those around him might have said, rain? What are you talking about, Noah? Are you serious? Is this really going to happen? But Noah and his family believed in God, kept trusting in the Lord. 90 years, 100 years, 120 years. Wow, what an amount. What an amount of patience and faith. You know, sometimes I get impatient at the drive-thru when it's over 5 minutes. But Noah kept on, pressing on, forward, building the ark. You know, there was a missionary, Adoniram Judson, in Burma in the 1800s. And he was going through a lot of struggles. And he was lying in jail, and he was in chains, and his wife died, and a fellow prisoner asked him, Dr. Judson, what about the prospects of the conversion of the heathen now? I mean, look at you, you're in prison. And his instant reply was, sir, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. God has promised in his word that he will protect us, he will guide us, he will provide. And we are trusting in him tonight. You know, faith in God moved Noah to action. Faith in God moved that missionary, Mr. Judson, to action. And it will move you and I to action. Might be the salvation of a family member. Maybe a health situation, a wayward child, whatever it may be. But we can pray and we can trust in the Lord and put our faith that he will work his plan. We've been praying for my grandmother. She lives here in Shelbyville, Illinois. She used to live in Decatur. She moved a couple years ago to Shelbyville. And my father and I have been praying for her ever since I can remember. And she is an atheist. She can't even mention the word God or talk about the Bible because she will almost kick you out of the house. But we continue to believe. We continue to put our faith in the Lord and trust and pray. You know, let's not have that mindset that, no, it won't happen. It can happen. But let's believe in the Lord that great things are ahead. We can be as the disciples and say, Lord, Help us and increase our faith tonight. Lord, increase my faith in my life. Finally there, verse 16. These people, these men of faith, these women of faith, but now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he hath prepared for them a city. You know, these people, they had their eyes on the heavenly city. They were just pilgrims passing through this earth. So I want to encourage you tonight, let's not get too attached to this world. Let's not get too attached to the things of this world, to the ideas of this world. Let us be strangers, pilgrims, with our eyes on the heavenly city. The Bible says there at the end of verse 6, for he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, how will God use you and I this year when it comes to missions? How is our faith tonight? Is it growing? Is it being stretched? Are we pleasing the Lord through faith? My prayer for you and I is that tonight our faith may increase so that we can see great things done for the Lord here and abroad. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and I'm going to ask the pastor if he would come.
As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let me ask a question. Do you have the faith that was spoken of here, the faith that we see in God's Word, the faith that was demonstrated by so many before us as provided for us in God's Word as examples to not just study, but to be motivated and encouraged by, challenged by? Would you demonstrate your faith? That's the difference between saying we have faith and having faith. Those that have faith do things that require faith. I wonder if tonight, if you would make that commitment to show your faith, not just here at church, but whether you're at school, at work, at home, show your faith. And maybe there's someone here tonight that as yet does not have faith in Christ. They've never placed their faith and trust in Christ for eternal life, for forgiveness of sins. Let me invite you tonight here in just a few moments. We're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to step out from where you're at. Meet me here at the front. And just say, Pastor, I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior. And I'll have someone show you from God's Word how you can know that you'll be in heaven one day. But perhaps there are some here that just need to make that commitment to Christ tonight, a commitment to God to live by faith.